بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. غسل مس الميت issue 161. If a part of a person's body touches mass a part of a dead person's corpse, mayit, that has become cold and which has not been given its ghusl, it is wajib for that person to take a ghusl. Now, the ghusl of mass mayit means touching by hand or any part of the body to a dead person. Now, if somebody died, if this dead, two conditions, if his body is cold, you know, after death for a while, about half an hour, 1 hour, the body is still hot. So if masmiyat happened at that time when the body is hot, ghusl is not wajib. But if the body is cold, and before having ghusl for the mayit himself, then if somebody touched the mayit by hand directly, not if he is wearing a glove, then there is no touching. The glove will touch, the hand will not touch. But if he touched by hand, or sometimes by mistake, his leg or arm or any part of the body touch the body of the mayit, the person needs to have ghusl, called ghusl mas mayyit. Issue 162, the ghusl of mas mayyit is wajib for the things like prayer, a condition of which is taharat after hadath asghar, minor thing which annuls taharat, such as passing urine. See, ghusl mas mayyit is wajib for what condition? Is it wajib by itself, or is it wajib for certain a'mal? You say by itself may not be wajib, but it is wajib for whatever taharat is necessary. Taharat necessary for somebody, if you want to pray, you need to be on taharat. If you want to touch Holy Quran, you need to be on taharat, and similar acts. So ghusl mas mayyit is necessary for such acts where taharat is necessary. But now, is this taharat of hadath asghar or hadath akbar? We discussed the meaning of hadath asghar and hadath asghar. Well, asghar means minor, akbar means major. It is major act and minor act. It is the mustalah in fiqh. الحدث الأصغر الحدث الأصغر الحدث الأصغر الحدث الأصغر any act in which a person needs to perform wudu after that, like passing urine, like passing wind, like sleeping, and similar things are called حدث الأصغر, minor thing which necessitates only wudu. And الحدث الأكبر, the major act, any act which necessitates ghusl, well, like passing semen will necessitate ghusl, is called hadath al-akbar. Now, mas mayyit is similar to hadath al-akbar or similar to hadath al-akbar? Is it similar to janabat, which is hadath al-akbar? Or it is similar to passing urine, which is hadath al-akbar? He says no, it is similar to things of hadath asghar, minor things. So it is necessary only for all things, taharat necessary, like need for performing wudu. Issue 163, the ghusl of masamayit must be performed like a ghusl of janabat. But for the things that wudu is wajib, a wudu must also be taken if one had not had wudu before touching the corpse. And even if one had taken wudu beforehand, the essential ihtiyat is to take wudu again. Now, ghusl masamayit, the way of doing ghusl is exactly like ghusl of janabat. I mean washing the head and neck first, then the right side, then the left side, as we discussed that before. And ghusl masamayit will not suffice for wudu. So after ghusl masamayit, one has to perform wudu for the prayer, not like janabat, in which wudu is not necessary after that. After ghusl masamayit, one has to perform wudu for performing his prayer. Now if somebody has already wudu and he touched a dead body and then he went and made ghusl for the dead body, now he has already wudu, if the ghusl is not sufficient for wudu, but he has already wudu, does he need to perform wudu again or not? Said, well, for ihtiyat wajib, wudu again is necessary as well. Why? Because he said, as ihtiyat, it is like hadath azhar, like passing urine. Not only ghusl is needed, but also wudu is needed. Of course, in some other cases, ghusl, let's say for ghusl Jum'ah, if somebody performed wudu and then he made ghusl of Jum'ah, then for prayer he doesn't need to do wudu again. But because masamayit is regarded as hadath, which nullified wudu, so that is why he said for ihtiyat, one has to perform wudu again after touching a dead body. These are the general masail actually needed for masamayit. There are maybe a few more masalas to be mentioned. If a child is being touched who is nabalig, also masamayit is needed? Yes, even to touch a child, masamayit is ghusl masamayit, a dead child, masamayit is needed. And for aborted child, what is the issue? So for aborted child, if he is complete in his shape, or if his age is more than 4 months in his uterine life, then also ghusl masamayit is necessary. Aborted fetus, if his age is more than 4 months, or if his shape is completed, then for the mother, because naturally the mother has touched him, and whoever else will touch him, it is necessary for ghusl masamayit. Yeah, it has a, well, in 4 months, usually 3-4 months, the shape is complete. And if part of a dead body is there, let us say somebody got car accident, for example, he is dead and his hand is separated, or part of his flesh is separated. Now if somebody touched that, will that necessitate ghusl masamayit also? He said yes, if it has a bone with it, I mean if the meat with the bone is there, then ghusl masamayit is wajib. if somebody touched the mayyit more than one time, or touch few mayyit, 3, 4, and somebody who is doing ghusl for dead people, and he has 3, 4 dead bodies at the same time, he touched all of them. So now, should he do ghusl repeatedly? He said no, one ghusl will be sufficient for all of them. If he touch several dead bodies, still only one ghusl is for him. So for someone who has touched a mayyit and he has not performed ghusl, is he allowed to enter a mosque? Is he allowed to read ayahs of Surah Sujda, which has a wajib sujda, or not? He said yes, it is okay. But as he said, it is similar to things for Hadath Azhar, not like janabah. You can enter a mosque, you can read surahs with obligatory sujda, but only without the ghusl. Yeah. I mean, read, not touch. You can read without the ghusl, it's okay, but for prayer, then he need ghusl mubarak. Now we come to another subject, behavior when ill. If somebody is sick, there are certain mustahabbat that he has to do while he is sick. Issue 164, it is mustahab when one is ill to be patient. To be patient here means to tolerate, have sabr, to express thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to re-express repentance is tawbah, to bequeath charity to one's relatives from the rights of the higher. While charity, sadaqah, although it has its effect, but also it is mustahab to give sadaqah to the relatives. Extra copy is not available yet, you know, but if somebody wants, we can make photocopy of the few pages, or you can take a book from some people who have extra copies. To give charity, that is also mustahab. In the presence of mu'mineen, those blessed with iman, real firm belief, to recite declaration of tawheed, nubuwwat, imamat, ma'ad, and other realities. So to declare his faith and iman in the presence of mu'mineen, like saying Allah Rabbi Muhammad Nabi Ali Imami and the rest of the Imams, and he expressed his faith in bil ma'ad wa al mawt haq wa al jannah haq wa al ba'th haq wa al nushur haq and so on, to declare these facts. If one is well off, to bequeath a third of one's wealth in charity, and within oneself to culture a beautiful opinion of Allah the Sublime. Well, to give charity or give one third of his wealth in the charity fi sabilillah, these are just mustahabbat he is mentioning. Issue 165, one of the great mustahabbat is visiting the sick, and it is mustahab to sit at their side. But one must not stay too long unless the sick person requests it. So the adab, or let us say the etiquette to visit a sick patient, first of all, it is mustahab to visit a sick person, and maybe one has to pray for him and ask the sick person to pray for us as well. And one should not stay too long, because the sick may not tolerate staying and visiting with the people. Stay short, just let him feel happy that he is attended by people and looked after, and leave. Unless if the patient himself is insisting for the person to stay with him, so one can stay. Laws concerning those about to die. We call أحكام المحتضر. المحتضر is the person who is sick and nearly to die, just before his death, is called محتضر. No, not محرم. Maybe lady will visit a sick lady, or man will visit a sick man. If somebody is a mahram, it is related to a mahram, naturally one has to sit aside, will not sit near him. Well, that again comes, as I say, in general, it is for the women, it's better to be at home, not to go out. Now that now mahram relation sometimes differs. Some mahram at home, like if you say the husband, the brother, if he is at home, so on, now to visit him, is regarded part of the family. So one has to compare which one is more important, visiting him, or she is now mahram and she is not supposed to go there. But what is discussed is not really about now mahram, it's about those who are mahram, either mahram or visiting of a woman for a woman, or a man for a man. Laws concerning those about to die, issue 166. It is wajib for a person, when the signs of death appear in him, to pay the dues that are wajib on him, like debts, khums, and zakat, and to deliver what has been entrusted and deposited with him. And if it is not possible for him to perform these duties himself, he must stipulate them in his will. So here, one of the wajibat for someone who is nearly to die, if he sees the signs of death appearing, either because of his sick, or his sickness continued, or he feels that there is no hope for his life, so to pay all the wajib dues upon him. Wajib dues, either he has to pay money to someone, he has taken loan, so he has to pay the loan back, or if there is khums upon him, he has to give khums of his money or zakat of his money, and these are religious obligatory dues. Or if he had something amanat given to him, some people may have given him something to keep it with him temporarily because they don't have a place or whatever reason, whatever small or big thing, a golden thing given to him, or maybe a book given to him, or some money is kept with him, as a trust or some papers, important papers for business people, some other business people will entrust them and keep some important papers with them. So whatever thing is entrusted, thing deposited with him, he has to deliver them back to the people. Now, if it is not possible for him to give all these things right away, so he has to mention them in his will, so that the guardian, after his death, will be responsible to pay all these dues to the people concerned. Issue 167. It is a wajib that a dying person's legs be placed towards the qibla in such a way that if he sits up, he will be facing the qibla. And it is not unlikely that it is also wajib on the sick person himself, assuming this is possible. And if not at all possible, he must be sat facing the qibla. And if not possible, he must be laid on his right side facing the qibla, or his left side facing the qibla. And assuming it is possible, the essential ihtiyat is to take permission from his wali, the guardian, to lay him facing the qibla, and if not possible, from the hakim-e-shar. So you see, somebody, if he is dying, the wajib, he has to die facing qibla. Now, facing qibla means what? He's sleeping on bed. Now, how to face qibla? So they say that his legs are facing qibla, and his head, naturally the other side, so in such a way that if he sits from sleeping condition, he will be facing the qibla. If the qibla in front, now his legs are facing qibla and his back is on the ground. If he sits, then he becomes facing qibla. This is the way how somebody who is nearly to die is to be placed. That is wajib, actually, not mustahab. It is wajib if possible. Now, if it is not possible to get him sleeping in that way, so he might be slept aside, that he's on the right side, and then he's facing qibla. Or, if not possible because he is sick, or maybe he's in operation theater, or there are some other medicines, or for whatever reason not possible, then they put him on the left side, and then he is facing qibla. So either he's kept on his back and his leg facing qibla, or if he cannot sleep on the back for whatever reason, then if he can sleep on the right side, then he should be facing qibla, or if he's on the left side, he's facing qibla. No, if possible, all the body should be facing qibla, not only the face. Not sufficient. Now, if he is sick, let us say in the hospital, he is dying, nobody there except the nurse is there, or he is too sick, he is not aware of himself, and someone of his relatives came and visited him, so it is also wajib for any Muslim to keep him in that position. If somebody is visiting a sick person and then suddenly found him is nearly to die, then it is wajib for the visitor to keep the sick person in front of qibla. And say for ihtiyat, if possible, one take permission for performing that from his guardian, wali of that dying person, just for ihtiyat, to take permission from his guardian that he's turning him toward qibla. Now, if the guardian is present, but if somebody is dying, nobody is around him, so one has to perform it himself. Say, if no guardian and possible from Hakim al-Shara, if a mujtahid is there, one can take permission from the mujtahid. Maybe somebody is dying without a guardian near him, guardian sometimes is not available there, he's traveling with passenger and so on. Issue 168. Yeah, so the doctor has to do it. Well, if the doctor is not Muslim, then he is not performing Islamic duties. But if he is a Muslim, he has to perform his religious duties. And he has to turn the leg of the patient in such a way that the leg of the patient will be, or the feet of the patient will face qibla. Yeah, then he can ask, where is qibla? I mean, if he is in a place where he can ask, then he can ask, where is the qibla? Left means if he's right on the left, then he's facing qibla, not facing the other side. I mean, he can sleep with this way facing here, or he can sleep facing this side. Or with the qibla there means he has to sleep like this, facing the qibla. This is on the right side. Or on the left side, place left side and facing the qibla. If somebody wants to face the other side, well, he's not qibla, he's in the qibla. So it has to be such a way that facing the qibla. Issue 168, after a person has died, it is mustahab to close the eyes, to tie the mouth and chin of the corpse, to straighten its arms and legs, hands and feet, and to lay a piece of cloth over it. And if the death occurred at night, to keep the place where the corpse is laying lit, to inform Mu'mineen for the funeral ceremonies and to immediately carry out the burial procedures unless there is doubt as to whether dead or not. But if there is a live child in the corpse stomach, then the left side of the stomach must be open and child taken out, the stomach sewn up, and then the burial procedures must be performed. So after the person died, there are mustahabbat. The mustahab to be done is to close his eye, because sometimes he die while his eye is open. And if he remains long time, for 1-2 hours, gradually his skin and muscle becomes stiff and his eye remain open. So it is mustahab to close his eye, and once it is closed, after some time it remains closing completely and continuously. And also his mouth usually is open, so it is mustahab to close his mouth. And his hands and legs are extended. If he has flexed them, then it is mustahab to keep them extended, so that if it is just for some time, it will remain as it is extended, will not be flexed. And if at night he died, then in that place some light should be kept on, whether let's say electrical light, or if not, maybe a candle or similar things may be kept. And it is also mustahab to inform mu'mineen so that they can come and participate in his funeral. So all these are mustahabat to be performed for a dead person. The burial procedures. Ghusl, kafan, covering, prayer and burial. Issue 169. It is wajib on every Muslim to perform the ghusl, the kafan, the prayer and the burial of deceased Muslim. And once some Muslims have performed these duties, they are no longer wajib on others. And if no one performs them, then everyone has committed a sin. So it is one of the wajibat, one of the duties of Muslims to perform ghusl and to have a coffin and to have a prayer for a mayyit and to bury a dead Muslim. Now if some people do this duty, then it becomes sufficient not to bury others to perform it. This is called wajib kifai. We have two types of wajib, wajib aini and wajib kifai. Wajib aini is wajib for everyone to do it, like a prayer. Somebody offer a prayer, still it is wajib on me to offer my own prayer. So this is called wajib aini. And wajib kifai is the same. Maybe it's considered like sufficient wajib. Means if somebody performs that wajib, then it is sufficient and not necessary for others to perform it. Like example here, we have a dead person. Then it is wajib for the Muslims all to perform his ghusl and kafan and prayer and burial. Now if some of the Muslims did that duty, then it is sufficient for others not necessary to do it, because it was done. Now if no one does it, then this duty becomes the duty of all the Muslims who knows about it, and they all will participate in that sin that they have not done ghusl and kafan and burial of the mayyit. So it's called, this is wajib kifai, means it's sufficient wajib. If someone has done it, it suffices, and there is no more responsibility for other Muslims. Issue 170, permission must be taken from the wali. The wali is the person who is in charge of the deceased affairs, the guardian of the deceased. If somebody dies, his elder son, for example, is his guardian, or sometimes if there is no guardian, Hakim al-Shar is the guardian. Permission must be taken from his guardian for the ghusl, kafan, prayer and burial of the corpse. But if the wali is neither prepared to perform these duties himself nor give permission to anyone else, then his permission is not necessary. And the Hakim Shar may, if possible, oblige him either to perform the duties himself or give permission to others to do them. And if not possible, then permission is taken from Hakim Shar himself. And essentially, ihtiyat is to take permission from the subsequent wali, even if the Hakim Shar obliges him to give his permission. Well, Hakim Shar is a mujtahid, or his representative, representative of a mujtahid, as it was discussed before in issue number 7. Anyhow, the mujtahid. Now, since the guardian of the mayyit has to agree, so permission from him has to be taken for performing all such duties like ghusl, kafan, prayer and burial. Now, for any reason, the guardian is not willing to give permission. If he wants himself to do it, okay, he can do ghusl, kafan, prayer and burial himself. If he is neither willing to do it himself, nor he is allowing other people to do it, naturally a dead body cannot be left for that. So now the permission is taken from Hakim Shar. But it is still for necessary ihtiyar, the Hakim Shar, if he is not there, then the guardian number 2 may be giving permission for performing such religious duties from the subsequent wali, subsequent guardian. We have to take permission. Issue 171 is describing who is the guardian. Now we say the wali of a deceased male is in the order of the classes of inheritance: the father, mother and children. And if the deceased is without these, it is the forefathers, grandparents, great and even great great-grandparents, and the brothers and the sisters of the deceased. You know, in inheritance there are classes. If class 1 are alive, class 2 will not get inheritance. Class 1 is both the parents and the children and the wife or husband. They inherit together in one class. If somebody died who has no parents, no wife, if he's a male, no children, now the inheritance will go to class 2, who are brothers and sisters, and so on. Then uncles, cousins, and so on, it will come into classes. So he says, the wali of the deceased in the order of the classes of inheritance: the father, mother, and children, they come in one class. And if the deceased is without it, it is the uncles and aunts, both paternal and maternal. And the wali of a woman is her husband. The guardian of a wife is her husband, whether or not she has her father, mother or children. Even in presence of her parents, her guardian, her wali, is her husband. And in each class, men have antecedents over women. Now if he has, to say, children, male and female, both, they have boys and girls. So now his sons are to be asked before the daughters. Now if he has no sons, only daughters, then the daughters will come as a guardian. And if there is not an adult male within a class, the wali of the deceased are the women. So if all the adults are not there, he has no father and he has no son, here come the wali for the women. And it is better, ihtiyatan, as a precautionary measure, to also take permission from the hakim shar in this case. If there is no male person in his guardian, it's better to take permission from hakim shar or his representative for performing ghusl, defend kafan, etc. والحمد لله رب العالمين.